What to do when a currency goes haywire, the case of Venezuela this morning.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Global Perspective on Business and Economics. One sign of an economy in trouble is the size of its black market for currency. Amid skyrocketing inflation and critical shortages of goods, the official rate for the Venezuelan currency is 6 bolivars to the dollar. And then there's the rate that people get from the shady character just down the street, 80 to the dollar. Today, Venezuela introduces a new currency exchange system. Marketplace's Jeff Tyler reports.
Venezuela's currency is called the bolivar, but it should be called the hot potato. Professor Mark Jones at Rice University says no one has confidence in the currency, and the average Venezuelan
tries to get rid of it as soon as possible, especially with inflation that's approaching around 50% right now.
It's also a big problem for U.S. companies like Ford that do business in Venezuela. Wolfgang Custer is CEO of Fire Apps, which helps corporations manage their foreign exchange.
Companies are still stuck with their money in Venezuela and can't convert it.
He says Venezuela's new exchange program could help eventually.
This in itself will not necessarily help corporations yet, but if they continue down this path and free their currency up, that will be helpful for corporations.
If confidence is restored, Custer says U.S. corporations may start pouring money into Venezuela instead of trying desperately to get that money out. I'm Jeff Tyler for Marketplace.
Let's do the numbers. China's exports fell a sharp 18% last month. That is a hint that China's economy is weaker than expected, and the Hang Seng stock index in Hong Kong fell 1.75%. The FT 100 in London is up 0.4%. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are mixed. Is 2014 the year of the initial public stock offering? It's only March, and so far 42 companies have gone public this year. That's more than double all of last year's tally. Marketplace's Stacey Vanek-Smith has more.
So far this year, companies have raised more than $8 billion going public.
And the party's just starting.
John Fitzgibbon heads IPO Scoop. He says the IPO boom is all about the strong stock market.
It's a very simple approach. Good stock markets equal good IPO market. Lousy markets, kiss it goodbye.
The stock market has been a bit bumpy, but worries about a crash are easing, and investors now want to put their money into companies they think will deliver solid returns, says David Menlo, president of IPOfinancial.com.
The increase in activity for the IPO market is really a statement of how much the market had been held back in the previous past few years.
And Menlo says many companies feel they've got to go public before the other guy.
There'll be a sense of urgency as we move through the year, and businesses will expand. And as a result, we're expecting all boats to rise with the tide.
Menlo expects we'll see the IPO pace keep up through the end of the year. In New York, I'm Stacey Vanek-Smith for Marketplace.
American fast food chains are doing pretty well catering to China's ballooning consumer class, but they're struggling to catch up to a popular culinary custom there. It's called hot pot, a tradition of dipping raw meat and vegetables into a cauldron of boiling spicy oil. Marketplace's China Bureau Chief Rob Schmitz traveled to hot pot's home base of Chongqing in China's southwest.
If you blindfolded yourself and walked through Chongqing, you'd likely be hit by a car. If you weren't hit by a car, you'd be hit by a hot pot restaurant. It seems every other storefront here is packed with groups of friends dipping various animal parts into vats of oil filled with floating chili peppers. It can take hours to eat hot pot. You share it with friends, usually with the help of alcohol. It's become the meal of China's middle class, an industry worth billions.
Running hot pot restaurants is cheap and easy.
Yan Qi owns a national chain of Chongqing-style restaurants called Taranju. She says hot pot requires nearly zero food preparation. The customers do the work, so it's the perfect money-making enterprise.
Anyone can open a hot pot restaurant. All you have to do is supply the ingredients. The success rate is 100%.
That's meant hundreds of hot pot restaurant chains, many from Chongqing, battling it out for customers throughout China. But Yen's hatching a plan to dominate them all. She and her partners have spent hundreds of millions of dollars on a hot pot theme park and national restaurant chain. They've got connections. Her business card overflows with 16 different job titles, all of them proving her loyalty to China's Communist Party. Her office, a Qing Dynasty replica of an emperor's quarters, features two framed headshots of herself facing each other. The perfect place for a diabolical hot pot takeover.
With my experience unifying businesses, I think Chongqing Hot Pot can spread across the world, like McDonald's or KFC. Only when Hot Pot is streamlined like a factory will it realize its full potential.
Just outside of town, fellow Hot Pot tycoon Ye Ganru scoffs at these plans.
They're not going to be able to pull this off. No way.
Nye had his own visions of hot pot grandeur, like this one, a 12-story high steel and glass hot pot visible for miles that he built a decade ago, the world's first hot pot museum. When I arrive, he fumbles for the museum's keys. I'm the only one here. Curious villagers congregate outside to stare at me. Nye shoos them away. He doesn't want them tinkering with his hot pot artifacts. Plus, they haven't bought tickets.
Hot pot is the greatest asset of Chongqing. It's the shining legacy of our city. We need to repay hot pot by spreading its culture.
And that's one thing everyone here in this culinary capital seems to agree on. In Chongqing, I'm Rob Schmitz for Marketplace.
And when it comes to lubricants, there's Quaker State, Pennzoil, and KY. There's news today. Reckitt Benckiser Group, the Durex people, will buy KY from Johnson & Johnson for an undisclosed amount. In other merger news this morning, the big banana companies Chiquita and Fifes of Ireland are joining together in an all-stock deal. Fifes is the top banana in Europe. Together, they'll have 14% of the world banana market. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.